Parkcast, the UK's original theme park podcast.
Welcome back to Parkcast, park fans. We're a podcast for theme park fans, and we're here every week talking about goings-on in the theme park world, the theme park industry, chatting to some interesting people along the way as well. I'm Bex. I'm usually with Kev. He can't be with us today. I have got a stand-in, though. I've managed to find somebody to take Kev's place for this week, and it's a good one because I needed a stand-in. I needed someone who could talk about something that I know nothing about. There's loads you don't know loads about, Bex. I know. But this, I really, really don't know much about at all. So I am delighted to welcome Darren from Jadventures to Parkcast.
Hello.
You are here because I wanted to talk about scary things, and I don't do scary things in theme parks or even outside of theme parks. But you were recommended by many, many people as the guru of UK scare attractions. So welcome, and thank you for bringing your knowledge.
It's absolutely fine. It's great to be here. I am nervous. I will say that. All those people that did send you a message to say, get your adventures on, I will kill them all. but hands up, guru is by and large the best thing I've ever been called. I'm obsessed with scare attractions. We love going to them. We've been going now for, 15 years?
Oh, wow.
Way before we even started the channel. It was something that me and my current wife started doing as date nights, really. Every October came around, and what better to have a place for a date than full of blood, gore and murder?
I mean, it just sounds ideal. Was part of your thinking like, if she gets really scared, she's going to like grab onto me?
Exactly. You know, it works out both ways, doesn't it? She'll either grab onto me when she's scared, or if it weren't going so well, I could just push her down a corridor and leave her to some other person and I could run off.
Oh, well, at least it didn't come to that, and it all worked out for the best.
It worked out.
Plan A went into operation.
Still terrifying each other 15 years later.
Well, I terrify my husband on the daily, but not through scare attractions. Okay, so I didn't actually realise that we'd had scare attractions for so long in the UK. Has it really been like 20 years?
It's been a long time. I mean, I think the first Scare Fest at Alton Towers, it became Scare Fest in about 2007. So that is, 18 years ago? And before that, it did do some Halloween events. It just wasn't labelled as Scarefest.
Yeah.
But the oldest scare attraction in the UK, I can't remember exactly where it is off the top of my head, but it's been running from about the 1800s, I believe.
What?
So it's a long, long industry.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I've just put together a brand new website with a list of scare attractions on it, and as part of the research for doing it, I came across this scare event that's just been running for decades and decades, and I couldn't believe it myself. but yeah, we've got a long history of scare attractions in the UK.
We just love to be scared. Well, some of us do. I don't. Now, I have said on this podcast many times, I won't go in scare attractions. I don't even go through the free walkthroughs at Scarefest. I can't do jump scares. I hate Curse of Our Manor. Like, I can appreciate it as a ride, but it's not my kind of day out. So I don't really know what goes on in these things at all. But you do. And I'm kind of curious, when we're in that time of year where all the theme parks go crazy in the UK for Halloween. Scarefest started just last week. And I mean, earlier than ever this year. And then all the other theme parks are going to follow at the start of October. They'll all start doing their own scare events. And I was just kind of wondering how they kind of match up to all these standalone scare events, which we also see more of every single year. And I just get snippets of stuff thrown to me at social media. And some of these standalone events look absolutely insane, like terrifyingly insane to someone like me. So I'm really interested to get to speak to you and find out if it's worth going to these theme park scare events, or really if you want to get scared, if you need to go somewhere else. So these standalone ones, how many are you going to this year?
We are going to 17 in total this year. 17. And it's only a matter of not having enough time off work to go to them. We do prep in advance. We book every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday in October off. So we're ready to go. This year, I have no idea why we've been invited to so many events that are happening even midweek now that we're having to change plans, rearrange days off at work to go down. We're only a small account, but I think our love for the scare attractions shines through. And yeah, 17 in total, and we're having to now start declining some invites that are coming through to us because we just I'm not capable of doing it.
No,
You know, when you've got the editing for multiple sort of social media brands, the website to update and all of the YouTube stuff, it's a lot of work to just go and even experience these things. So 17 is what we're maxing out at this time.
that's crazy. I wonder if there's anyone who's doing as many as that, because
Oh,
that's a
there'll be people
lot.
that do more. There's some
Really?
greats in the scare industry that really go for it every year. They've got big teams though, people like Scaretor, Park Scares and Glitter. There's loads of really good events or really good accounts that have been doing these for years. That yeah, they'll be there almost every day, which I would be if I could.
But work gets in the way. Okay, so you're doing 17. How you've done some already though?
I've done two already. We have done Scarcity Experience at the old Camelot theme park, blending two
Yes,
of the hobbies together there.
I saw that. And so that was just last week, wasn't it, that it opened? And
Yes.
I love this idea because yeah, this is kind of combining the two. So you've got an old abandoned theme park and you're putting a scare attraction into it.
Yeah, what could be better? I mean, I think any of us, like I'm a theme park enthusiast. I'm not a roller coaster enthusiast. I just love the theming of a good theme park. So to be able to step in there one on a night time, which is very rare in the UK these days, let's face it, that we don't open late that often. But also that aesthetic of it being abandoned, it just adds another level to it. So you can almost forget the scare event to be able to walk around. And for me, I'm an old guy, unfortunately. I remember going to Camelot when it were in its heyday and to see things that I recognize, like the jousting arena from when I were a kid, now being used for a scare attraction is incredible. And there's one little piece of roller coaster track still in there, which you can just see as you're walking through as well. And it makes everyone excited when they go past it.
Is that from the Dragon Roller Coaster?
It is, yeah.
Is it in like the woods?
Little green piece of track sticking out of the woods. It's lovely, really lovely to see. Brings back some great memories.
I imagined it. I visited Camelot as well, and I have a fear of being in trouble, so this is why I haven't done it. But I would love to go and have wandered around Camelot as an abandoned theme park and sort of see it with my own eyes. I kind of have a morbid fascination with abandoned places, but I can't put myself there because I don't want to get told off.
Yeah.
So I love that this has been opened and it's a legitimate way of getting into the old theme park. Is the scare attraction itself like related to Camelot in any way other than you can just see a few little old bits, or is it that's it?
Yeah, absolutely no way at all is it related. They just use the grounds and the grounds alone. I think we've gone now 4 years in a row, and there's never been anything that's been related to it. I imagine that there may be some issues surrounding IP and stuff with it being a defunct theme park. Maybe they can or can't use it, or they don't want to, but they never have. It's just a range of standalone typical scare attractions just placed in that theme park.
Okay. And what was the other one you've been to already?
We've been to Farmageddon as well,
Okay, yeah, I've heard of that
down
one.
in Ormskirk.
Okay. Out of those two so far, which has been the most terrifying?
Farmageddon, by
Okay.
and large, Farmageddon has definitely been the best. We went to Farmageddon a few years ago, and we had a really bad time when we went. A storm rolled in, it just ruined the entire evening, and we've not been back since. So I think going in with low expectations this time really amplified what you experienced there. But the kind of theming that they put into their mazes, the effort that they go through to create them, it was just terrifying. And
Really?
somewhere like Scarcity can't really put that same level into it because they're similar to a theme park event. It's a pop-up attraction. They've got to bring the stuff in only a few days before they create the event and get this up and going. Farmageddon down at Farmer Ted's, it's obviously there all year, so they've got the ability to almost hide it away, keep the attraction out the back, and they can just add to it year after year so that the theming level grows. But definitely out of the two, Farmageddon, yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to like compare this to my limited knowledge of UK theme park scare events. So obviously, if you go somewhere like On Towers, they've got maybe three or four mazes and a couple of scare zones. How
Yeah.
does that compare when you go to one of these standalone events?
And you get slightly less in numbers when you go into a theme park. My biggest discrepancy between the two is that pop-up nature. I'd say the vast majority of scare events in the UK are able to keep their theming to a certain extent up throughout the year. They can keep adding to it. Whereas Alton Towers, they've got to be a theme park all year. They don't really have a lot of time off to be able to pop these attractions up. It's built around current attractions. And so they're just not able to get that same level of detail that you would get elsewhere. Thorpe Park, I can't really comment on where it's been a long time since we've been down there, and it does seem to have got closer to your typical scare attraction in recent years. But yeah, I think it's that pop-up nature of a theme park event where they're not able to fully invest in it in the same way as when it's someone's bread and butter.
Yeah, so these places like that you've just mentioned, Farmer Ted's, they literally will put all year round into the scare attraction. I guess it's a massive money driver for them now.
Yeah, I mean, there will be some that have to do it as a pop-up by their nature, but they're. How to explain this? I know somewhere like Twin Lakes, where Extreme Scream is, they essentially have a section that is sectioned off at the back. All of their mazes are in there and you can't access it through the year. So they're able to do the theme park stuff in their little theme park during the year. But they've always got people working in the background to create the new attractions, designers, updating current ones, refreshing them. And you're not having to pull stuff up and put stuff down. You've got this, all that time is just there free to work on the next scare. What can we deliver that's better and more immersive next year? Rather than just, right, okay, this needs to be up in a week.
Yeah.
How's the easiest way to sort of lean it up against the wall and make it look good, essentially?
Yeah. It's interesting you mentioned Twin Lakes because I've never really thought about it as a Halloween event because obviously I don't go to these kind of things. But so it, as a theme park, obviously it's not one that gets talked about a lot, but in the scare attractions world, is it quite highly regarded?
In Scare Attractions World, it's one of the best in the UK. Yeah.
Really?
Extreme Scream, for me, is personally my favourite attraction in the UK.
Wow.
In terms of realistically looking in the UK, it probably comes second, maybe third to somewhere like Tully's,
Yep.
down in down south.
Brighton Way, isn't
Right, yeah, so
it?
somewhere way down there. If it's
Yeah.
more than 4 hours away, I don't know where it is.
Yeah, oh, that's really interesting. So, even though as a theme park, it's kind of a family theme park and one that you'd go to if you had young kids, it as a scare attraction, it's really highly regarded. Interesting. What
Hugely regarded.
makes it stand out?
It's got universal Halloween Horror Nights level theming here in the UK. It's one of the only,
Really?
yeah, some of the mazes are absolutely incredible in what they do. Every tiny little detail, and I've got ADHD, so I will notice tiny things that other people might just take for granted. And you've got like help me written in dust behind a TV that no one's ever going to look at and stuff. The amount and level of detail in the Extreme Scream mazes is unbelievable. They're like 20 minutes long, some of these mazes. The village, one of the best,
20
what,
minutes.
20 minutes it took us to get through the village in 2024. It's an incredible maze. Some of the ways that they use scares in there are just ridiculous. They've got this whole church hall with church pews up and down it, and you've got like 100 people sat on it. You know that at least two or three of those are real people, but they're all dressed so well that you've no idea which one it is. You've got to walk in between, but you're not paying attention to them because you've got light beaming in through ornate windows and all this design on the walls and stuff. It's so incredible. It's
That's insane. I had
Yeah.
no idea that they went to this level of detail. So they must have like creatives who solely work on this.
I would imagine so. all year round, I would think that they're putting details into it. I know I've recently done an interview with the guys at Halloween Haunt Fest about this the brand new attraction that they're putting in this year, and they were talking that about how it's been 3 years of planning just to get to this stage, and that they're already working on next year's, even though this year's hasn't begun. And I think a lot of attractions like Extreme Scream are exactly the same. They've got a dedicated team now, because, like you say, it's getting to the point where, okay, this theme park's not bringing us as much money in as this event that's happening for a month every year.
Yeah, because Halloween is just getting bigger and bigger. And you mentioned remembering when Camelot was a thing. I think we were probably a similar age. And Halloween wasn't a thing, was it, when we were growing up? You might have had, someone dressing up with a bin bag on or something like that as a
Me.
witch. Yeah. But this, I mean, it's massive. For my daughter, it's as big as Christmas. It's as exciting as Christmas. So it totally makes sense to capitalize on it. And it seems like there are more and more standalone scare attractions opening every year. Is that something you've noticed?
100%. I mean, when I first started going to these events, I still don't class myself as an expert, but I certainly wasn't back then. I knew of maybe four or five around the local area, and you made the decision as to whether it were worth your time to go up to some of these places if they were more than, say, an hour and a half away. But now there are hundreds dotted around the UK, and some of them are so unique and so hard to find that they don't really get the attention that they deserve. Because if you think of a theme park in the UK, you think Alton Towers, you think Blackpool, you think Thorpe, you've got your headliners. And it's now the same with scare events where when you think, right, where am I going to go to? You'll think of Tully's, you'll think of Extreme Scream or Fear at Avon Valley. But there's so many hundreds of smaller ones that people just don't get a chance to consider and go to. And every year there's just more and more opening up.
Is there one you can say, look, this one barely gets talked about, but it is amazing?
I would say the Forbidden Corner. They've got a new event which opened last year. It was Forbidden Corner Fright Nights last year. It's now the Forgotten Corner, but that was incredible. It was their first year. There was obviously things they can do to improve it, but being their first year, I was blown away by it. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been to the Forbidden Corner yourself, but
No.
it's a crazy, strange attraction as it is. It's full of mazes, it's full of gardens, it's got crypts, underground walkways, and a huge like tower with a face on that eats you.
What,
It's
just
a
when it's not Halloween?
when it's not Halloween, yeah, you if you want to take your kid in, you've got to take your kid down the throat and out of the bowels of some weird castle. It's a crazy
Well,
place as it is.
where is
And
this place?
the Forbidden Corner, it's in Leyburn, smack bang in the middle of the Yorkshire Dales.
All right, okay.
I mean, the problem is no one's ever going to accidentally drive past this place.
No.
You've got to be going there to get to it. But that scare event that we went to just blew us away. We were lucky enough to be the first public people to go through. And I had no idea where the scares were coming from. They had to use the terrain that they've already got there to create these scares. And there were hands coming out of bushes and grabbing my ankles.
Oh,
You
no.
know, there were scares coming from above, below, to the side. It were fantastic, and I'd highly recommend everyone goes up and gives it a try.
Is it just one maze there then, or is there
It's a
several?
linear walkthrough, yeah,
Right,
because they've
okay.
got to work with what they've got. They're not able to build any mazes yet. It's a very restricted place. It's a bit like Alton Towers, really. The local council had been trying to close them down for a long time. And they finally managed to get a big enough petition to allow the place to be open, but they're restricted in terms of the number of people that they're allowed to have on site at any one time. And obviously, if you can't have many people coming, you're not going to get the cost or the money coming in. You don't want to invest too much in it, but yeah, you just walk around the grounds. It's lighted so you know exactly which pathways to take, and they're just using the terrain and what's already there to just create a really scary experience.
Well, that sounds great if you like that kind of thing. I can't think of anything worse than walking past a bush and someone's hand coming out and grabbing me. But yeah, I'll
Should have
never.
described it better.
I'll And like you say, never heard of it. And it's good to know that there are these little hidden gems that you can go and find. Have you ever been genuinely terrified, or are you just like water off a duck's back?
I think the only time I've ever been genuinely terrified was at some of the first events I've ever been to.
Okay.
Especially when you're going to from Alton Towers. And that was where we sort of started our scare experiences. We went in like 2008, I think it was, very shortly after it became Scarefest. And it was a little bit more extreme back in the day, but it's always kind of been cartoonified. It's been very teen friendly. So the first time that I went to a standalone scare attraction, and just the aesthetics of the place made me genuinely terrified. It's like, what have I let myself in for? This feels like Malkin Manor in America, where they pull your fingernails off or something.
Oh
Like,
no.
what is going on here? But since going through my sort of first year in them, there's nothing that terrifies me now. It's more a really good jump scare will get me. If I don't see something coming, I'll jump out of my skin, and then I'll laugh my backside off.
That's what gets me. I can't do jump scares. I have to know what's going to happen next, and if I think someone's about to jump out at me, I just lose it. So this is why I can't do these things. Yeah, so you've sort of conditioned yourself to being able to be go through them.
Desensitized, really, is it? I think the word.
Well, it's good to know you can do that. Is there one that you'd say is maybe particularly gory?
I think, and not to harp on about the same places all the time, I'll try and cast a light on all of them. But Extreme Scream, again, because of the level of theming that they go to, they're able to be really sort of dirty and really gory with what they do. And it's got a really adult vibe to it as well. I mean, there's all kinds of human parts on display as you're walking around that have been sliced open or chopped off. You've got guts and stuff hanging out all over the
Okay,
place.
I'm regretting
It is
asking this
terrible.
question.
But yeah, I mean, Farmageddon the other night was really good in the way they were doing stuff, because they had somehow got someone on the table with his guts hanging out, but it was a real person. I don't know whether it was a head through the bottom or how they'd done the design, but it looked like an animatronic at first, or just a puppet. The everything were watery and awful. It looked so realistic. And as you're walking past, he just opened his eyes and reached out, and you're like, my
Oh
God, that's
no,
real.
that would have been me dead at that point. I would have simply passed away. Okay, well, this is all sounding very exciting. You've mentioned Tully's, is it, they call it Shocktober, don't they?
Shocktoberfest, yeah.
Okay, why has Tully's got such a reputation?
You see, I've never been to Tully's. And this is just from a, it's 5.5 hours away from me.
Yeah, it's a long
And
way.
it obviously, having a young kid, it's difficult to just leave him and go down to these places. But I think from what I can see from Tully's, is it's not a scare event, it's a horror festival. It's like an event with so much to do that you could go down and you could have a fantastic experience there without actually going in any of these mazes. They've got brilliant live entertainment, almost rock concerts every night, the wandering scare actors that are there, all of the different things that you can do just make it such this fantastic environment where it's like, oh, there's a scare maze over there. I forgot about that. I'm having so much fun here.
Is that the only one that you can think of which has kind of got that? So if someone like me who just won't go in a maze, would any of these other events be like, well, they're good to go to just for the atmosphere, even if you're not going to go and get yourself scared?
There's a number of them which are growing to the point where they could be classed as like festivals, or at least mini festivals now. Hallow Scream up at York Maze, that's an event where it just, they seem to take the money that they make every year and not think, hey, we've got money. It's just like, right, let's spend it on next year. And the improvements that are made year after year mean that this entire grounds is full of a number of bars. They've got fairground rides, fantastic food. They've got live shows every 10 minutes, brilliantly choreographed shows, fire breathers, aerial acrobatists and stuff. It's really a great sort of environment to be in. And although it costs you maybe £35, you're going in and you're getting all of that entertainment all night. You're never going to be sat bored. You're able to do something even without going in the mazes.
Yeah, that makes sense. You mentioned the price there, so it's probably a good time to compare them to theme park offerings. So if we take Scarefest, because it is the most well-known theme park scare event in the country, there was a lot of debate amongst enthusiasts not so long ago when they released the prices for this year for their mazes. And their new one, Edge of the Forest, was £16 a shot through. How does that compare to these standalone ones?
Terribly. It's £16 to go through one maze, in my opinion, is ridiculous. I mean, you look at most of the places across the UK, you've got at minimum four, but typically five or six mazes to go through, and you're looking at an average price of around £30 to £35. And that's as you're getting closer to Halloween. At this stage, earlier in the year, you're actually looking at maybe £29, £30 for five attractions or five mazes. Most of them now you can go through an unlimited number of times, and then you've got shows, you've got, your food, your beverage, and everything like that. Free parking. It's a no-brainer.
Oh, let's not talk about the Alton Towers parking. Okay, that's interesting to see how they stack up because yeah, I mean I am going to Scarefest this year and I do try and go every year. As I've mentioned on the podcast, I've moved to Saudi and I'm actually back in the UK, not specifically for Scarefest, but whilst I'm here, I am going to go to it. And it was quite a last minute decision to decide that I'm going to go to it because I was sort of thinking, well, is it worth it this year? But I genuinely really enjoy Scarefest without the mazes. Just as a theme park fan, like you say, being in a theme park in the evening with all the lighting that they put on and just the atmosphere of Scarefest, I actually really enjoy that.
Yeah, I think that's where a lot of people are making a bit of a wrong distinction as comparing a scare event to Scarefest. The kind of appeal to different people, I would classify Scarefest as a Halloween event rather than a scare event. As you say, it's got the cartoony theming throughout the park, it's got that lighting. You can hear the roller coasters going around on an evening. It's got a very different vibe to a scare event where you can hear chainsaws and screaming and swearing. The two sort of separate things. And I think that's why a lot of people are not necessarily against Scarefest, but don't really appreciate it in the way that it should be appreciated, is because they keep trying to classify themselves as a scare event. And when you are going to all of these different scare events across the country, you realize it, well, actually, it's not a scare event. It's a Halloween event aimed at teens that's got a couple of sort of semi-scary mazes in there as an option for some people.
But would you say on a whole the level of scares in the mazes at Scarefest, for example, is not what you'd get then at a standalone scare attraction? Are they just worlds apart?
In my experience, yeah, completely. I know loads of people. I'm in the sort of minority here, in that when I did Compound last year, I was bored going through it. It was over in around 2 minutes. I saw three or four people in my time going round there. They didn't seem to progress the story very much. They just sort of shouted at you to move along. It didn't really scare me, and that might just be, again, being desensitized by going around all these other places, but it certainly didn't give the same level of scares as somewhere else. And I think when you look at it realistically, is can they give the same level of scares as somewhere else? They've got a very different demographic going in there of your families, of your teens, and they're not going to be able to go that extra mile a lot of other places are. And if families have ever been to some of these standalone events and then gone back to Alton Towers, it's just not going to seem as scary.
I guess the only way they could do it is by having a maze with an age limit or something like that on it, which then they could go a little bit more extreme for, but then you've got all that effort to go to and Although I wonder how many people under, I suppose, like you say, a lot of teenagers under the age of 18 do go through them. So yeah, they are in a tricky situation. But like we say, it's more than just the scare mazes at Scarefest. It is the option to ride your favourite roller coasters in the dark and just be at Alton Towers in the dark, which we don't get a lot of time to do, sadly, anymore. Thorpe as well, you mentioned you've not been down there for a while, but they seem to get really good reviews in the theme park world anyway for their scare event. It seems like they are a little bit more scary than the Scarefest mazes. It's not somewhere that I've ever been to because I'm a wuss. But they do seem to have stepped it up a little bit there, and also the mazes are quite a bit cheaper there.
Yes, I mean, again, I'm the same as you. Thorpe Park is a long way away, so I've never taken the time to go down and experience this in recent years. But I've seen over the last sort of 5 years that they've really solidified themselves as essentially a scare event. It's very different to Alton Towers. You know, Alton Towers, you'll have the cartoony characters walking around, you'll have the shows, which are the Alton Ancestors. These are all based for like a teen audience, whereas Thorpe Park, looking at it, you can see that it's very adult oriented. It looks to be for like 16 years and above, and I'm not sure of the exact age limit, but it just gives that vibe of being an adult scare event. The mazes are more extreme, the more intense, the look to be edging on those adult themes in there. You know, I think, is it Stitches that's a bit of like body horror? And they're getting closer now to what a typical scare event would be. And I can see why the good reviews do come for Thorpe.
Yeah. The other big park, of course, to mention is the Pleasure Beach. It's a park that you visit a lot, but you haven't been to Journey to Hell yet.
I've never been to Journey to Hell.
That really surprises me.
Yeah, it's just got terrible reviews, you know, and I know you shouldn't take other people's reviews. You should go and experience it yourself. But from what people have shown, the YouTube's videos that we've watched of it, it's just not good. they're, again, very much a pop-up attraction, and they've got less room to do so. Alton Towers have got this benefit now where they're building a year-round maze. A compound is built there. It's there. It can stay. Blackpool don't have that same sort of, you know, option. And the time in which they're allowing themselves to do it, it just doesn't seem like a very good event. Again, I'm only speaking as a third party because I have never been there. But the extra cost that it would cost you to get in there doesn't make me want to go and experience it as a scare attraction. It's very, you know, just in one tiny area of the park. Unlike Alton Towers, which you can go around the entire park, Blackpool, most of it is shut off this year. There's very little open in terms of rides to go there. So I've not been, unfortunately.
I mean, it's a really interesting one to me because I can't do these scare mazes. But when the Pleasure Beach announced this year that they were going to use part of the River Caves as part of Journey to Hell, I was really gutted because I'd love to go have a little wander around the River Caves, but I don't want to get scared. And I wish it was getting better reviews because I actually like what they're trying to do there of using their existing attractions and turning them into horror attractions for the event. So I love that they take Alice in Wonderland, which is a creepy, weird ride, and kind of lean into that and go, okay, we're going to horrify it up a little bit and make it even more creepy and using the ghost train, you know, the famously haunted ghost train, and making it part of the scare event. I love that that's the angle they've taken. It just seems like so far, at least, the execution hasn't quite been there.
Yeah, and I mean, I agree. It's a really good idea. They've got, it's a maze anyway, you know, this dark ride is back and forth around corners. It's an ideal place to put a maze in there. And as you say, it just doesn't seem to be executed well. I mean, how can you get a ghost train how can you get it wrong? It's supposed to be a scary attraction anyway. But I think they could use the infrastructure better at Blackpool in terms of, they've got so many big open walkways that go on for a huge distance. Why don't we have some scare zones in there to really sort of build the attraction up? Use the IPs, base it around Icon, find some way of building that mythos in there and creating a walkthrough. And as you say, use some of your rides as part of the actual lore. They've got Valhalla there. Get some scare actors in Valhalla. You know, Vikings dripping with blood, throwing axes at you. It'd be great.
I mean, I'm not sure I fancy getting off Valhalla at 9 p.m. at night in October from but
There'll be some that do.
some will, yeah. There's always some. Okay. Well, it's an interesting one. From what I've heard, it's got slightly better every year. So I'm holding out hope that they can actually make this one really work for them. I hope they can make it really work for them because, like you say, these other places have found that they can be a massive money spinner.
Yeah.
And for Pleasure Beach, I think that would be amazing if they could get really well known for actually not trying to do the family-friendly scare event, but actually trying to go a little bit more extreme because they do sort of close the park off for it, so they can get away with it not being suitable for families and really taking it to another level. I think that's a really interesting direction for them to go in. So I will look forward to seeing the reviews of that one. And if you do go this year, if you make the decision to go, then do let me know how you found it.
Yeah.
There's one more that I'd like to mention, which is just down the road from me, because I've heard it gets quite good reviews, but again, I've never been. And that's Fantasy Island, who do Fear Island. I've heard that that's actually quite scary.
In terms of a theme park scare event or an amusement park scare event, it probably is that they do use, like we've just said about Blackpool, these guys actually use their attractions really, really well. Is it called the ninth gate, the ninth floor? I'm no expert on the Fantasy Island one. I'll let you know. But it's multi-leveled. It's got like multiple floors, and on each floor, it's really well designed. It's really scary. It just they're using what they've got to a great extent, and that's what you should be doing as a theme park, is not like how can we build something new within our space, how can we use the space we've already got to create a scary experience? And that's what Fantasy Island seem to be doing really well. They're also really good with the marketing in terms of the promo boxes that they're sending out and getting people in and stuff. But it's somewhere where I will go eventually. It looks like it's worth a visit.
Definitely. I mean, it's just a shame I can't get over this fear because it's literally 20 minutes down the road from me, and no, I don't want someone jumping at me. You know, these
Just need to do it
lanyards.
once.
I can't. Honestly, I will just collapse. I need the Halloween Horror Nights, you know, the don't scare lanyards that they've been
Yeah.
handing out. I need one of those on my person at all times. Which actually, that's worth a mention. We are waiting for the final go ahead for Universal. But how much of a game changer would Halloween Horror Nights be in the UK?
Oh, you see, I've often thought about this and got rather excited about it as well. It could go either way for me. As much as I want to sing Universal's praises, the Halloween Horror Night experiences that we've had have been fantastic in one way, terrible in another. So the UK theme park industry, or sorry, the UK screen park industry is incredible at scaring people. We are really intense when it comes to our scares. We're not afraid to get hands-on. We're really inventive with the way we scare people. And it's not like that at all in America. The Halloween Horror Nights event is, I'd say, very friendly to children. You get a lot of people doing very repetitive jump out, shout boo, jump back in. And now, most times, they're not even using their own voice. They've got little pedals on the floor to, set the audio off as someone's walking past, and they're just acting out the scenes. And if they brought that over to the UK, as much as the theming's going to look incredible in there, it's just not going to scare us in the same way that our guys do. If they can go with sort of a hybrid of having that theming level and the atmosphere that you can create at Halloween Horror Nights, but with the British style of scaring, then yeah, we're onto a game changer. Everyone else can bugger off.
I mean, all I've seen this year on my social feed is just millions and millions of videos from Halloween Horror Nights of Art the Clown from Terrifier.
Yeah.
And he, I mean, he looks like a lovely guy.
Yeah.
He loves a shop. He's been buying the merchandise, helping people on their way. And my husband decided to put the film on, and I lasted 10 minutes. So
we watched number one and we've not gone back for number two or three yet. And that's saying something because my wife's disturbed. You know, she'll watch Owl.
Oh, it was horrific. I've never, honestly, I was like, how do they come up with this stuff? But having said that at Halloween Horror Nights, it looked like, a great experience with him interacting with the crowds and stuff like that. So I definitely will look forward to a bit of that when we get the Universal go ahead, not
Oh,
if.
exactly. It's when, not if. Anyone that
Literally.
says if is wrong.
Yeah, it's coming. Okay, it's been amazing chatting to you about all of these. Which one are you most looking forward to going to out of your 17 events that you've got?
Well, speaking of IP, we're actually really looking forward to going to Halloween Haunt Fest this year because it's the first official IP maze in the UK. So they're bringing over the Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey. They're actually working with the owners of the IP to create the attractions highly detailed based on these movies, some of the scenes in the movies, some of the behind the scenes we've been given are looking absolutely fantastic. They're even going to get some of the actors from the Winnie the Pooh movie that are going to be there. So as the first official IP maze in the UK, it's going to be incredible. I'm really looking forward to going and seeing what they've done.
Hang on a minute. They've done some sort of Winnie the Pooh horror crossover.
Yeah, have you not seen the Winnie the Pooh horror movie?
Absolutely not. That's
Yeah, there's
horror.
a
How, what on earth have they done that for?
when the IP sort of expired after a certain amount of time, copyright expires, Winnie the Pooh as a character just became open for anyone to use in
Oh,
whichever way they please.
no.
And so the new horror movie came out straight away. It's terribly brilliant is the only way to describe it. It's that bad it's good. It's one of like those OG horror movies where you just like, I can't possibly watch it, but I'm hooked. And they are using that in a horror attraction here in the UK, as well as the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
I don't know how I feel about that. Please tell me Eeyore isn't involved.
Yeah, I won't say anything.
Oh, this is just destroying childhoods. Okay, well, that's interesting. I definitely won't be going to that. That's horrible. Such an innocent character. Whereabouts, if you are sick in the head, whereabouts would you need to go to find that one?
That one is down in Hertfordshire, Hertfordshire,
Hertfordshire. Okay.
Hertfordshire.
Well,
We're uncultured up here in Yorkshire. We can't tell anyone else's name properly. Hertfordshire.
if it's over border, we're not going.
Exactly.
Okay, well, there you go. That's one to look forward to, maybe, if you're into that kind of thing. Winnie
Can't
the
wait.
Pooh gone. I'm sort of tempted to look that up, but also not. It's one of those things
Do it. It's
I
well
don't think
worth a
I need the
watch.
visual of. Okay, well, there we go. Well, that's amazing. I am looking forward to hearing how you got on with them all. I'm hoping to get some people on podcast who have designed some horror mazes. I'm doing some investigations into whether we can get them on, which would be really good because I'd love to know how all these ideas and things get put together and how they come to life. So that would be really interesting. I hope
Brilliant.
you enjoy your remaining 15 mazes and scare experiences.
If I make it through.
By the end of October, you're just going to be like a puddle of mess on the
Just
floor.
cancel Christmas, I'm all right.
Yeah, need to sleep for a month. And if you make it to any of the theme park scare attractions as well, I hope you do have a good time. I hope Scarefest is going to go well for me. We shall find out if it was worth the 6-hour flight back for. Who knows?
We shall, fingers crossed, fingers crossed. I give Alton Towers a lot of stick, but genuinely, it's because I just want them to succeed. The same with anywhere, really. So, yeah, fingers crossed you have a fantastic time.
I hope so. Darren, thanks so much for coming on podcast. Where can we find you? Because you've got your own channel, like you say. So you do your horror attraction reviews on that as well and theme park reviews.
Yes, so we have Judventures, the YouTube channel, which is all about theme parks, attractions, basically living every day to its fullest. And we have, again, judventures.co.uk, the website, as well as Facebook and all the usual social media, Instagram, TikTok. We're basically everywhere. If I can dip my finger in a pie, it's in there as well. So,
It's the only way to be. So we'll see all your horror reviews popping up on there, I guess.
you certainly will.
Amazing. Well, we'll keep an eye out for those. If you have enjoyed today's episode and you haven't already, do hit subscribe so that you never miss a future episode. And if you'd like to leave us a review, I'll never say no. For now, though, we've been podcast.
Podcast. The UK's original theme park podcast.